holy discontent and righteous anger. Welcome to the Great Reset, a Grand Forks best source. Joining us in the studio today, Chief Science Officer Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, along with Dr. Gene Gullix, Executive Director David Waterman. Not here today, but we're going to talk about him in just a minute. By the way, our show today is brought to you by Everett's Old School Cycle. All you Harley Davidson owners out there, you know what? There is a place to get your Harley work done. It's Everett's Old School Cycle, the only PhD-certified Harley Davidson tech in the area. And not to mention your one-stop shop for welding and machining, tires, oil changes, adjustments, and tuning and service. You know, Everett's is also a drag specialty and biker's choice dealer, along with Midwest, V-Twin Manufacturing, Dynojet, Jim's Dealer, Tab Exhaust, AMS Oil, and Lucas Oil Dealer, too. And Everett's can get all the parts you need directly from Harley Davidson. And by the way, they'll pick up your bike, too. Hey, treat your Harley the way it should be treated. Bring it to Everett's Old School Cycle or have him come and pick it up, all right? Call him up, 701-772-3232. Well, if you have any questions or comments for Dr. Gene Gullix or Dr. Dan Stanislawski, our number is 701-213-0863. And again, now, we do not put this show on Facebook or YouTube, but if you want to join in, go to gfbestsource.com. Click listen now. It's all live. And if you want to chat, just click the Twitch link in the upper left corner. And we're now on Rumble, too. It's posted on the GFBS Facebook page. So the more people we can get to join in on this show, the better. Well, before we get too much further into the show, time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. I think, Dr. Dan, you might like this one. You might too, Dr. Gene. If liar's pants really did catch on fire, boy, I tell you what, watching the news would be a lot more fun, wouldn't it? And before we get too much further into the show, he's not here today, but we want to wish David Waterman a happy birthday. Happy birthday, David.
Yeah, I think he's celebrating, what, 40 years today, something like that?
I think he's 41? Like 40, yeah. Something like that. Maybe 41. Yeah, those 40s, I tell you. A couple of things I've got before we start, like we do on every Great Reset show, through September 14th, according to VAERS, 16,516 deaths from the vaccine. That's the deaths they are telling us about. A couple of stories here I wanted to read about. First, Pfizer has asked U.S. regulators on Monday to expand use of its updated COVID-19 booster shot to children ages 5 to 11. If the Food and Drug Administration agrees, they'd start getting kid-sized dose of the new Omicron-targeted formula when it's time for their booster. Here's another one that got me that I can't believe this is still going on. Minnesota Appeals Court panel has sided with the state health department, which fined bars that violated emergency safety orders during the coronavirus pandemic. The ruling by the three judges affirmed the health department's authority to suspend the bars license and levy fines. Two of these bars that violated out of many the governor's mask mandate appealed health officials' actions against them. Health department has issued a $10,000 fine and a 30-day license suspension against Norm's Wayside in Buffalo and the Mission Tavern in Merrifield. The health department let an administrative law judge decide the penalty, which was a 20-day license suspension and a $5,000 fine. And finally, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has signed off on Canada dropping the COVID-19 vaccine requirement for people entering the country at the end of September. An official familiar with the matter told the Associated Press the other day, which is great news if you're traveling back and forth to and from Canada. Joe Biden, I don't know if you heard, he's moved now to crack down on hidden airline fees. You know, the extra charges, baggage fees, change fees, cancellation fees, all that stuff. Sleepy Joe student loan forgiveness program. I don't know if you heard what that's going to cost. Mm. Who's going to pay for it? $400 billion. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guess who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
All of us sitting right here.
Yeah, sure.
And finally, jeepers. Finally, final word on elections. You can't love your country only when you win.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of a good one. Yeah. Dr. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing very well this morning. It's great to be on here again, and it's great to have Dr. Gene Gullix joining us today. She's so knowledgeable, and I think you're going to get a wonderful amount of information from her today as well. So it's great to be here. Another wonderful Tuesday.
Well, Dr. Gene Gullix, it's been a while since I have talked to you. How have you been?
I've been okay. I've been dealing with the same stuff everyone is. I didn't work too much this summer because Mostly because I got sick again. COVID again. So I am still counseling, still working with some patients.
So how many times have you got COVID? Because I know I've probably had it twice. The two times I went in there to get tested, I was negative. I didn't go in the other two times. But haven't you been vaccinated or boosted?
No, I have not. And I think I got better fast.
I agree. I agree. I mean, you know, when you look at the numbers, I know you've got a bunch of numbers that are telling like mortality rates and stuff now. Mm-hmm. And we brought this up probably a month or so ago on the show. People, especially men, 20s, 30s, 40s, they're dying at more of a rapid pace. And all of these guys are ones that have been vaccinated and boosted.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And that's exactly what I want to start this show with is this one thing was actually sent to me as I was doing the show last week, but the EU numbers on excess mortality have come in, and in July, there was 53,000 non-COVID excess deaths in Europe. So a city the size of Grand Forks just wiped out in excess in just 1 month. You know, it's crazy how efficient they're getting at killing people and people not even caring, mm-hmm. not noticing. In that same vein, a report by the Society of Actuaries Research Institute found that in quarter three of 2021, so when the shot mandate was coming out, mm-hmm. and when we had reports of insurance companies and CEOs, saying that there is a unprecedented increase in excess mortality, this confirms that amongst 25 to 34 year olds, excess mortality was 78% above normal. 78% in 25 to 34 year olds, and in 35 to 44 year olds, 100% excess mortality. So, you know, double the amount of people died than normal in 35 to 44 year olds, which is absolutely astounding. And that's quite clearly, if you watch the show, we know that's because of the injections. Mm-hmm. And then an article by Joseph McCullough, Dr. Joseph McCullough, says U.S. life expectancy dropped almost 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years. I mean, COVID kills people on average 79 years old, 79, 80 years old, mm-hmm. right about the expected time of, you know, normal
sure.
life, you know, expectancy is when those are the people that COVID really, truly kills.
Mm-hmm.
So this drop in 3 years life expectancy is obviously not
sure.
from COVID-19. It's obviously not from
COVID-19. It's just no longer people with underlying health issues.
Right. No.
And it's been bad enough that there's now new diagnoses. There's sudden adult death has a code,
yep.
mental health code, and sudden athlete death.
Yeah.
And well,
two yeah. new labels.
Yeah, and they're just going to keep doing that. That's what's so crazy about the scientific system we live in is that they just get guys with white lab coats to study and just put another name on it. You call it another thing, put money into funding it. I mean, the CDC just came out and said that they're going to finally look at myocarditis.
Yeah.
For like the long-term implications, like the CDC is just now doing that. And what's that? I mean, what effect does that have on society? Is people hear that and say, okay, maybe there is something wrong, and the CDC is going to look into it, though, mm-hmm. so we can just keep relaxing and yeah. sitting in our chairs and doing nothing. That's all that this is going to accomplish. You know, they're just paying people to study and find out what we already know, but they're going to put a good spin on it. You know,
sure.
they're going to make it look like it's just normal, like it's a small effect, like we're being crazy, but that's obviously not the case, you know? So that's kind of what this show is called, Holy Discontent and Righteous Anger, because people should be angry.
Yes.
And it's a virtuous thing to be angry, actually.
It's funny because I ran into somebody, a fan of the show, the Tuesday show, The Great Reset, and he said, you know, when I started watching the show, and I started doing a little bit of research on my own, and he goes, when you guys talked about that mortality rate, how it's changing, he goes, I started doing some research, and he said he's finding out about all these professional soccer players and athletes yes. that are just keeling over dead.
Yep.
And like we had mentioned before, these yep. are people that are in probably the best shape that you could possibly be in, especially if you're a professional soccer player.
Yep.
I mean, their shape, how they take care of their body, their foods they eat, everything that goes in and out of that body. You're not going to get a healthier person than that, but they're just keeling over.
Yes.
And they're trying to figure out why.
Yep.
There you go.
It's pretty
and now
obvious.
It's high school kids, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a 19-year-old in Canada that was playing hockey and then died yep. in a game last week or 2 weeks ago or
yeah.
something. You know, it's what is it going to, you got to ask, like, what is it going to take for people to wake up? You know, I honestly, I think it's going to be like, the cable TV shuts down and people can't watch sports anymore. Then they'll be like, hey, there's something wrong in the country. Maybe we should do something about it, you know?
Well, you know, for a long time, like I was saying, nobody was ever releasing who was getting COVID and who wasn't after vaccinations and boosters.
Yeah.
But you watch ESPN Sports Center, they'll tell you because all of these guys, well, they didn't meet the COVID protocol. They got COVID. They got blah, 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 blah. Yes, they were vaccinated. Yes, they were boosted, but they're still getting it. Well, at least you're finding out that the vaccination and booster isn't working.
Right.
I mean, because people are getting shots, they're getting all these boosters, one, two, three, four of them, and they're still getting COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And John, maybe you would know better than I heard that ESPN wasn't live, like playing live sports for a while. Is that?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Okay.
It's ESPN is more of a sports news. Yeah. Network. So you're not going to get a lot of sports itself on ESPN itself. They've got three or four different ESPNs now, but it's more of an ESPN news type thing, which is what I follow. I mean, it's a quick way to get up caught up on your sports,
but
and your COVID news.
We talked about last week about how there's like 1,300 athletes have had cardiac events, and then of those, like 960 or something had passed away, whereas the average, and that was in a year and a half of COVID shots.
Mm-hmm.
The average, like there was two studies that this report cited, and one was that from 2014 to like 2020, the average mortality rate for athletes was like 66. And then a study from before that, from like the 80s to 2013 or something, was like 29 athletes per year died. Well, now we're at well over 600, you know, it's an order of magnitude larger. And then the sudden adult death. And I saw that it was like in Alberta, Canada. The number one cause of death is unknown. It's unknown causes of death. I mean, come on. I mean, this should be quite obvious what's going on here. And of course, viewers of this show are well informed on these subjects. But it's scary. It's you know, they're getting very good at killing humanity and humanity not caring. Yep. You know, so.
Dr. Gene, what is your field of study?
I am a child development and mental health specialist, family nurse practitioner.
Okay. Now, when I read that story this morning about the updated COVID-19 booster shot to kids age 5 to 11, it seems like every week they're asking for younger and younger kids to be vaccinated. What are your thoughts on this and in the whole mask and the whole thing? Because we could talk about it till we're blue in the face, but it's actually nice to hear from somebody that maybe knows a little more about it than we do.
Well, that age, children 5 to 11 are not at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get COVID, it seems to be mild if they get it. The masks and the quarantines and the shots have caused so much fear and anxiety that suicides are a higher rate than deaths from most anything in kids right now. Mm-hmm. They have lost ground in school. There was a big study with third graders, and they found that in the first time since 1940, which was wartime, scores have dropped significantly in academics.
Oh, yeah, we've seen that all over the country, all over the world. But, you know, the thing is, too, is, you know, you still see it. You still see the mall walkers around here once in a while. One or two will be wearing a mask. But what gets me is people that are driving in their car all by themselves or riding a bicycle all by themselves. It was funny because during the height of the pandemic, I saw a group of kids. They're probably 10, 11 years old, something like that. They're all riding. Not one of them had a bike helmet on, but they all had masks on. Now, come on. Yeah, I mean, really?
Yeah.
Well, and the masks have caused fungal infections, bacterial infections, all sorts of infections that these kids probably wouldn't have had.
Right. I mean, kids eat dirt and worms and things like that, and they've got a great immune system, and natural immunity is the best immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so interesting, the phenomenon of still of people wearing masks by themselves in their car. I mean, it's like it's interesting and really sad because it's like these people are totally robotic. You know, it's like you're a human being has a body and a soul. You know, you can use, if you focus on the powers of your soul and your intellect, what you can do with it, it's the driver of your body. Your body's a biological machine, and these people kind of just coast through life just with literally responding to the stimulus that's put in their environment by the powers that be on this planet. And they just go through life robotically, not making choices.
And those people who are wearing masks don't acknowledge other people. Yeah. They walk right by them.
Yep.
There's no social interactions. And that's dangerous, too. Mm-hmm. Isolation is dangerous.
I thought maybe there's just a whole lot of ugly under that mask, and they're trying to hide it, because I can't come up with any other reason.
Well, I think my reason's probably better.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, it's such a... I mean, those people, I feel so bad, because they're totally neutralized, you know, in their life. They're not going to do anything of any effect to help. I hate to be so harsh and judgmental on them, but it's such a obvious thing that they're just totally sleepwalking their way through existence. Mm-hmm. And they're truly, with the social media, this digital bath, this digital existence we live in, they are creating that. They want that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sure. They want to bring that human style into be the only human style, as you just coast through life and just respond totally without thinking to everything.
You know, and there's so much isolation from parents now that's being pushed on the children. And then I see families out with the kids with masks on, the parents without masks on. That's isolation. And people need to recognize, number one, the virus slips right through. It does no good.
No.
But not seeing expressions on their parents' faces, mm-hmm. parents not reading their expressions, drives them to those stupid phones and TikTok and all of that, so that they get some response from someone.
And you know, we've brought this up before, too. I used to do a lot of farm work when I was younger. Go out and clean a grain bin one time wearing one of those masks, and you will know how good they do not work.
Yeah.
Because they do not work at all.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And this is, people don't, it's tough, because, like, even in my generation, I think I've said this before on the show, but I think my generation is basically incompetent, you know. And I've mentioned that I think there's a mass casualty event coming, it's already happening, mm-hmm. as we've talked about this excess mortality, but we're creating generations of humans who are totally inept. You know, we have approximately 7.9 billion people that are on planet Earth right now. Therefore, we have infrastructure to support life for 7.9 billion people. Mm-hmm. But if you put incompetence into all these different facets of this infrastructure, the infrastructure is going to collapse. And that will kill people. That will kill a massive, massive amount of people. And we're creating humans that just want to live staring into the abyss of their phone, you know? Phones. And what does that do for mental health? You're an expert in these areas. And
there's many, many studies, and they were out before COVID came, when the phone mm-hmm. was even used more. If you get a ding, it takes you 20 seconds. If you answer the ding or look at your test, it takes you 2 minutes to get back your brain back to where you were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The kids have their phones in school because the parents said, what if there's an emergency? They need their phones. Well, we all lived through it without phones.
Sure.
There were ways to contact.
Isn't that what teachers are for, and school nurses and things like that?
Yeah. So, but one of the worst things with it is the social media. Everybody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the coaches figured this out, that the kids were responding so negatively to the lack of likes that they got,
mm-hmm.
the number of seconds it took to get a like. And so the depression was coming in. And the coaches are the ones that kind of figured that out. Wow. But it hasn't changed anything.
Yeah.
They still have.
All because of a damn phone.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. So it's like contingent self-affirmation. Like, if you don't have this outside thing liking your tweet, then mm-hmm. you're valueless, essentially.
Yeah. Sure.
And then you're in the restaurant with your mom and dad. There's no interactions.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I see it all the time. I saw a baby in the high chair with the phone.
Oh, no.
Because, of course, it'll keep them occupied. Mm-hmm. It's movement, it's color, it's whatever it is. Mom never looked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and again, we're beating a dead horse, but we do that a lot on Tuesdays. You know, you hear people say, well, they don't make kids like they used to. And my reply is always, it starts at home.
Yes.
It starts at home. If you're going to let your kids stare at a phone all day at the supper table, in his high chair, whatever, good luck with what you end up with, because that's not what kids are supposed to be doing.
Right.
They're supposed to be able to be kids.
And the parents are not getting the support or coaching they used to get.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young mom, new baby, who said, well, I will support her in whatever she wants to do or be. And my comment was, so she's going to go steal gum and you're going to support that? She's going to punch somebody mm-hmm. in the face and mm-hmm. you're going to support that because that's what she's feeling? It's no different.
No.
Parents have got to train, discipline, and bring up the kids
yeah.
in a way that they can be have self-esteem but not be narcissistic.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think, Jordan Peterson, I'm not a fan of Jordan Peterson at all, but he does say some very good things sometimes. And he said, one thing he says is you want to raise your kids so that you like them and that people like them.
Yeah.
And then if you're raising this little self-indulgent monster, no one's going to like them, you know, and they're not going to be, how are they going to perform in life then too? If you can't take orders from someone that is a superior to you, because sorry, ladies and gentlemen, life is hierarchical, right? Yeah. There are hierarchies to things that you have to operate within. And if you don't take orders, and you're lazy and you just want to stare into your phone, how are you going to flourish in life?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I did have a refreshing encounter last week with 13-year-old, 15-year-old, good students, straight-A students. I asked them about what was going on in the schools. They said, the eighth grader laughed and said, it's there, but I ignore it, and it's so stupid. And the sophomore wasn't even aware of what's going on. I just don't go down that way.
Wow.
So they can divorce themselves from some of it if they're, sure. they're doing their homework, they're doing their classes.
You know, the thing is, when you go to junior high school and high school, those are some of the most memorable moments of your life. If you're going to be engaged in something, that's the time to be doing it, because those are the fun times. Those are the times that start to groom you into an adult. But when you're just blowing it off and not even paying attention, you're just punching the clock, basically, going in, doing your stuff, and getting out of there. And, you know, mom or dad could say, well, how'd school go today? And they're just, it was there.
It was
there. You know, there's no stories to tell. Well, this was really fun. You should see what we did in this class today. You don't hear that anymore.
Right.
Wouldn't you love to go to a dance and see what they're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Gene, would you say that reaction that you saw from those two students is typical? I mean, are all students able to divorce themselves from what's going on?
No.
Yeah.
I think it's the students who have been taught. They've done chores. They've had good nutrition. They've had parents check out friends. They're involved in extracurricular activities, whether it be band or choir or soccer or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think most can resist that.
Yeah. And are you referring to the LGBTQ and CRT stuff that's going on?
Yeah.
Do you think that's prevalent? Would you characterize that as a prevalent thing in schools now that you're aware
yes.
of? Yeah.
And because I've had teachers telling me, I've had parents, and I've had kids telling me about it.
And as a, I don't know when it starts, I'm just guessing 7, 8, 9-year-old, are obviously highly able to be influenced age. What effect does that LGBTQ stuff have on some kids who can't ignore it?
Well, it has a lot of effect. I think the biggest effect is they're telling them not to tell their parents.
Oh.
So I tell the kids, if anyone tells you not to tell your mom and dad, that's when you tell them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's otherwise, they're just, you're hiding it then.
They're hiding it.
And if you're so for it, why are you hiding it?
Yeah. And it's a deception. Mm-hmm. And kids cannot grow up with people who are telling them to lie, with parents who don't know what's going on. It's very, very difficult. One of the kids said, there's a girl that wears cat ears. Now she wears cat suit, and she says she's a cat. So she pours her milk on her lunch tray and laps it up. And I said, what do the kids do? And he said, we all laugh, and then we walk away.
Yeah.
I actually read that story this morning, and apparently the school district is fine with it as long as she doesn't cause a disruption. Okay, you show up in a cat suit, you drink your milk out of a plate on the floor or on the table. Wouldn't that be a disruption right there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But it's I mean, the kids are reacting that way, and it's a perfectly normal reaction to laugh at that and avoid it. But I expect some counselors to sit down and sit next to this girl and say, what's wrong? You know, like what's happening to make you think you're a cat? You know,
I'd like
a severe mental problem.
I'd like to see the real part of it. If she thinks she's a cat, let's see some hairballs get coughed up. Let's see, you know, cat puke. Let's do all that if you think you're a cat.
Yeah.
Well, one of the high school kids said, the kids have fooled the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there can't be a teacher that thinks this child's a cat.
Yeah.
So they play along, they get the attention, so the cat gets a lot of attention. I think he's right.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they purr.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure
And have a litter box.
Oh, boy.
Where is the litter box? In the girls' bathroom, he said.
Are you kidding me?
No.
And so the janitors have to take care of this, I'm assuming?
I mean, no idea. You would think, I would imagine janitors are part of a union.
Yeah.
I would think the job description of having to clean up a female human being's litter box out of the girl's restroom should not be in my job description.
Definitely. That's something I wouldn't be doing if I were a janitor. I mean,
it's so absurd that it's not real, but people are talking about it like, well, there's two cats in our school. There's a dog at Red River, I guess.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But we let it happen. See how he goes to the bathroom.
We let it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he a leg lifter or a squatter? Jeepers. Holy discontent and righteous anger. It is the Great Reset. And on the show today, Dr. Gene Gulix, along with Dr. Dan Stanislawski. Of course, Dan with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. I got to give a shout out to Or for Heaven's Cakes. In fact, we've got a visual here. And this is the dirt pudding cupcake. And oh my goodness, look at that. There's a worm coming out of it, even like we talked about earlier. You can get that in all of your favorite cupcakes or cakes. Maybe you got a special occasion, or maybe you're just jonesing for a treat. These guys are good. Go in and find out more while you're there. Enjoy their homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. If you're a business owner, want to treat your employees to a little something special, check out their monthly employee discounts. They're on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall. They're open, Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call 701-757-CAKE, or you can go to oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. And again, dirt pudding cupcake. Looks awesome for Oh for Heaven's Cakes. Well, holy discontent and righteous anger. The Great Reset is back with Dr. Gene Gulix and, of course, Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. And where did we leave off?
Well, there's talking about what's happening in the schools and the agenda that is destroying the minds and bodies of our children, which is the LGBTQ BLT, potato salad, you know, whatever, mayo on the side, whatever it is, you know, that nonsense. But it's incredibly damaging to children. And so we have that going on. We talked about the excess mortality figures, which are stunning, and it should move people to action. All of these things. And before the show, I was talking with Jean, and she has some interesting perspectives on what's going on and how people should be upset about what's happening
people
in the world.
Be. Yeah. Pastor Paul gave a sermon on holy discontent, and it was very, very to the point, and the righteous anger is, what are we doing about it? Are we just finding out about it? Are we listening? Are we, you know, there's scandals, there's everything you can name. Mm-hmm. So it has to stop. So how are we going to stop it? Mm-hmm. So this discontent that we have, we need to put it to use. Yeah. Can we tutor kids? Can we make sure that immigrants are speaking English? Can we do any number of things to help instead of talk about it? Mm-hmm. And I see that as a problem. I was thinking the other day, are they still allowing volunteers in the school? I know they're down. They are short. How many paras? 20 to 40?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the paras help kids who are struggling in school. So they're not there. Mm-hmm. And the kids are losing ground anyway. Mm-hmm. Who's volunteering? Who's mm-hmm. finding out what books are in the library? How come the adults that are upset about this are not stepping up? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but yeah. There has to be. It's Jesus' demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Do something.
And, of course, during the pandemic, when it was really blown out there, you know, you look at some of these school board meetings, because most of them are streamed now. Same with the city council hearings and things. But it's like, okay, here we go. A school board meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get the bowl of chips and a six-pack, because here comes the crap show. And I think, you know, it did turn into that. A lot of unhappy people. I don't know if it's the teachers have their hands tied or it's the school boards themselves. But, well, look at Grand Forks school board election. Was there 17 people, I think, running?
Yep.
East Grand Forks is coming up, and I know a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork and running there. Good. Because they're just sick and tired of what's happening with their children.
Yeah. Unfortunately, although like the good people didn't win. Grand Forks. I mean, that's really truly unfortunate. Maybe there were too many good people running. We got some of them got close. We did get really close, but I think a lot of it is people like to, they anesthetize themselves. They don't realize the power of television and fun, you know, like just sitting back and watching shows for 2 hours at a night, you know, it's like a drug, know, and it saps you of your will to fight back. And, you know, Christ does command you to love your neighbor and help your neighbor, which it's so interesting and so evil that the left has co-opted love. You know, they've totally twisted it and malformed it into, you know, loving like homosexuality is just okay and it's a good thing and healthy thing to do. And then, you know, having a mastectomy at the age 12 is just a totally normal and thing to, that is love. And if you say that that is a mental health issue, then you no longer love someone. Well, that's not true. You know, love is an act of the will, technically speaking, because if you didn't, I mean, I love my wife dearly. We, you know, you love your husband, you love your wife, of course, but it's not all, marriage isn't all just happy times, right? No. And if love was truly just a feeling, an emotion, you would be, people would be, it would be divorce and married, like in your own personal life, you know, it would be crazy.
And there's a big difference between love and respect and love and accepting the behaviors. And I think that's part of the problem. The COVID messed with my memory a little bit.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just saying, so loving, I mean, it is an act of love to tell the truth. It really is, you know, and when you call out evil, that is an act of love. And the more truth you tell, the more you're going to be hated, you know, and that's just the reality of our times. And this nonsense that's going on in our schools is such a, it must be from Satan himself, you know, the deception that is being cast upon kids, because it is so well done. I mean, it's so it's crafted in such deceptive and seductive way to children that it totally plays with their emotion. I mean, you tell a 9-year-old who has a perfect normal love for their best friend that, oh, maybe you love them in a sexual manner, that can easily mess them up for the rest of their lives. Yeah. Am I off base in saying that?
No, as a matter of fact, there's been studies, lots of studies done. And if a 9-year-old, a third grader, is exposed to pictures, illustrations, not photographs of sexual positions and all that kind of stuff, they are 30 times more likely, 100 times more likely to be involved with porn by the time they're in high school. Mm-hmm. And that's what's in these books. Mm-hmm. And the child development, you're not supposed to love your body until you're...
Right.
Do we ever? Some of us don't. Some of us do, you know, but best friends are girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they have their arms around each other and they're walking together and they're laughing and they're carrying on.
The things kids do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same-sex attraction in kids goes clear until 14, 13, 14, 15, sometimes later.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with their sexual...
Right.
You know, their gender.
Mm-hmm.
Their gender is boy or girl. So I saw a school assignment, and on the bulletin board were probably 12 or 16 flags, different colors. And under the flag was 12 or 16, I don't know what they are, gender types or who you are or who you can be.
So there's flags for that now.
So they all had different colors. So there was for gay, there was for lesbian, there was for all the letters in the alphabet. There was not a single flag for boy or a single flag for girl. The assignment was draw the flag of the group you belong to.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Absolutely.
I'm getting kind of pissed off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, righteous anger. So what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, it's like, that is such a, I mean, Satan obviously has been trying to seduce mankind since you know, the beginning of time, since the beginning of humans anyway. But, you know, this is, I mean, that, like, I just think of percentages. This is like, what percentage of children doing that assignment are going to, it's going to shift their mindset forever, you know?
It has. So you were talking about a graph. So the graph from 1970 for gay, lesbian, and transgender has stayed around 2 to 5% of the population. Choom, all of a sudden, 2-3 years ago, that graph shot up to greater than 20%. That's not an artifact. That is something intervened to cause that.
Absolutely.
Now, do you think with these school-age people that are, you know, coming out, gay, lesbian, LBGQ, whatever, alphabet soup, do you think that they're not really old enough to decide this and maybe they just want a little attention because they're not getting it?
They're definitely not old enough to decide. And
right.
If you listen to the adults who have transgender, who have changed, they say this is not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are depressed. The suicide rate is highest in that group of any other group that I'm aware of from what I've been reading. No, they're not at any point to be able to decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of these movements are trying to get it so that you can get consent without your parents.
Right.
They want to get 11-year-olds. And they've had the clinics for the transgender therapy stuff have exploded in the last like 5 years. Even I think I saw one map. There was like two in the country like 10 years ago. And now there's
every
like,
state.
Every state has like North Dakota's got one or something, but like a lot of the big states have several. You know, I mean, it's again, as Gene says, this is not, there's nothing in your DNA genetics to make this happen, right? Even if you apply the basic law of fitness, you know, of how the evolutionists, the atheists would tell you this works, is that the stronger genes are more likely to carry on into future generations, right? It increases what's called your fitness level, and your fitness level is your ability to pass your genes on, to procreate, to have children, essentially.
Sure.
Homosexuality, if that was genetic, it would reduce your fitness. If it was genetic that you wanted to say, I'm a boy, well, no, actually, I want to be a girl, that reduces your fitness. It reduces your ability to pass genes on. So there's nothing natural about this whatsoever. So there is a targeted cultural war against us.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's destroying minds, you know, it's destroying will, it's destroying love, it's destroying all aspects of our culture. And again, that's why it seems overwhelming, you know, it does seem overwhelming. And in a sense it is, which is why I always say, and I know Gene would echo this very strongly, is you out there listening have to be virtuous, you have to be good, and you have to pray, because it's truly, we must have God on our side to conquer this. We have been seduced into sleep for so long, I mean so long, that it seems impossible for most people. And that's why they say it's much easier to make the same choice I've made for the last 25 years of my life, which is to just sit on my couch and turn on the boob tube, you know? And so they're going to continue to do that. Odds are they're going to just continue to do that, you know? But for some people, it does take hitting rock bottom, you know, to have this big crash before they realize, hey, I need to change what I'm doing, you know? Because if we don't improve ourselves, we will not win this.
You know, I've been thinking when we were talking about, you know, junior high school and high school, great times, supposed to be great times in your life. Me growing up, some of the most influential people ever in my life were teachers, coaches, et cetera. And I think about this now and I think, there's no way these teachers would be a teacher right now with the things going on. So I started thinking, okay, pretty soon we're going to have a teacher shortage. But you get all these teachers now that are all on board for the LBGQ stuff and coming out and at way too young of an age. So will we have a teacher shortage or not? Because you know darn well, there's a bunch of people in college right now that are just itching to go out there and teach all this crap to these young kids.
We have a teacher shortage, and the sad thing is the teachers that were doing it the right way, that were teaching academics, that were letting kids be kids, are the ones that left.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Partly because of behavior. The kids are out of control. There's disrespect. And partly because of the CRT and what they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were made to go to workshops in Grand Forks.
Yeah.
And we saw the slides at a school board meeting that one of the teachers brought forward. Of course, he's not teaching anymore.
Yeah, and apparently, according to the Grand Forks School District, there's no CRT being taught here in Grand Forks, even though one teacher left after how many years?
Yeah.
Loved his profession, but couldn't handle it anymore. So they open up what they so-call this little, you know, investigation thing. But it just comes down to it. No, if superintendent says we're not doing it, so it's not happening.
Yeah,
but we've got people saying it is happening.
Yeah, well, they hired a woman who is open about CRT and LGBTQ agenda to be the administrative or the assistant superintendent or whatever, right? Yeah, and she's all about pushing that stuff. Her tweets from her previous position in like Baltimore, or wherever she was, attest to this fact. So she's not shy about it at all. And that I mean, the fact that Grand Forks Public Schools hired this woman means they looked into her past, saw these things, and said, "Yep, that's what we want."
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So yes, of course, it's happening.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say one thing that you can notice about with these teachers that are pushing this, like, you know, you see like these TikToks of this teacher that has rainbow hair and rainbow glasses, mm-hmm. saying that,
oh, yeah.
you know, I encourage the kids to come and talk to me about their genders, blah, blah, blah. You see all of these teachers that are pushing this, they're on these TikToks and stuff looking for that self-recognition themselves. Mm-hmm. You don't see these teachers going on there and saying, look how many kids I got to pass calculus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Good point.
Absolutely. And in Grand Forks Public Schools, too, it's the academics is tanking. I mean, relative to North Dakota, I think North Dakota is tanking, you know, and that's saying so how fast.
So what are they doing? They're getting rid of the requirements for college.
Yeah.
They're not doing the ACT and SAT tests anymore. I don't know that that's started yet, but that's the next wave. The med school certifications, some of them have been waived.
Yeah.
Isn't it supposed to be the best of the best students going to med school?
Yes.
I mean, and now it probably won't be.
Yeah. Probably not.
So if you want somebody taking your gallbladder out, you at least want them to know what the hell they're doing, right?
Yeah. And I know. I mean, I am not that far out of graduate school, and I have some friends that are still in medical school, and my friend is a brilliant guy. Love him. But having rubbed shoulders with these people for many years there recently, they're not the best and the brightest. I hate to say it. I mean, it's like they just... They're like Gene says, it's garbage in, garbage out. Like, because her father said that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally like they're really book smart. You know, they're really good at passing tests and exams and that thing. But there's no critical thinking. Obviously, because COVID, if we had critical thinking skills in the medical establishment, COVID doesn't happen. You know?
Right.
So that's just point of fact there. And what is the next generation going to look like of medical practitioners? Going to be much worse even.
No.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not teaching there anymore. See, there's an example.
They pushed Gene out. Yeah, like they were, you had to wear like what, two masks and a face shield, and they were fumigating the rooms after every class. Psychotic, you know. And then you have the dean of the medical school, who I think is the highest paid North Dakota employee.
He is.
And it's a very Josh nice paycheck.
Yep.
Yeah,
oh, very nice
paycheck. Mm-hmm. And he has a cardiology practice on the side, so the man ain't suffering.
No.
But this is the level of intellect he. I mean, I don't want to riff on statins and cardiology. I have to resist the urge to do that. But he just put, I mean, he put out a thing saying, you know, mask mandates don't work, but masks do work, you know? I mean, this is the lack of logic process happening in the dean of the medical school, you know? So what are the kids, what is the fruit going to look like that's falling off of that tree? Mm-hmm. It's going to be absolutely rotten, and it is, you know? So there's a... There's something bad. What I'm saying is there's a calamity it's happening. It's happening before our very eyes here, you know? And they're torturing our children with this stuff. They're torturing their minds. They've trained us to torture ourselves with pleasure, you know, just give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more. So we can't turn it off to save our lives, the lives of a society, you know, because we need to overthrow this evil that's happening. Hopefully, it is true. I don't want to be all doom and gloom because it is true. I mean, if I didn't have hope that we were going to win, I wouldn't be doing this, right? And it is true that people are becoming aware of what's going on at a much higher rate. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true.
That's one of our big frustrations at MPHC. We can't get parents to come to a meeting. We can't get them to listen. We can't get them to come to the seminars.
Yeah.
So we're changing our focus a little bit to how do we help the parents wake up and understand this.
Sure,
yeah.
And I know many, many parents who are like, oh, the kids are just telling stories. Kids do not tell that kind of story.
No, apparently they don't talk to their kids enough to know if they're just telling stories or not, because it was never an issue when my kid was growing up. I knew if he was BSing me or not, you know, but I never had any issues with him either.
Yeah.
You know, he was a good student, good kid.
Yeah.
Loved going to school. You know, like I kind of remember it. Yep. I didn't absolutely love going to school, but I went for sports. I liked going
Something
to school, you know?
School. Yeah.
I was going to ask you too about, you said that they had all those flags and they were supposed to identify which one they thought they were. Well, I'm assuming that that wasn't a homework assignment. I bet you that they didn't they probably didn't get a piece of paper that, you know, they brought home and sat down with their parents and said, look at this assignment.
Yeah. I'm sure not.
And
I'm
it's so sad, especially in Grand Forks, you know. I got to tell you, I was so naive when COVID first started. I was so naive. I'm like, North Dakota is like a freedom-loving state. Grand Forks is my home. I love this place. We're going to stand up and fight back against this. And I remember, because I started my first postdoc when I was, it was March of 2020. I literally graduated in 2019, end of 2019, March of 2020. I started my first postdoc. And I'm just, I remember like leaning on my office door, like looking at my lab on like March 15th or 16th or something like that of that year. And I'm like, it's like a ghost town, you know, because people are like at home. And I'm like, this can't be real. Yeah. You know, it's like, is this happening? Are people actually going along with this crap? You know? And I was like, North Dakota's going to stand up. Grand Forks is going to stand up. Boy, was I stupid, you know? No, I couldn't believe it. Like, we like at NPHC, and it's about a year ago now, we had a family that their two girls were starting kindergarten, and they showed up to an NPHC meeting, like, looking for help, you know? Like, how can we fight back against this? And we picketed Century Elementary School because they were forcing kindergartners, these two kindergartners who did not want to do it, parents did not want their children to do it, to wear a mask, and these girls were sitting in the principal's office all day.
All day.
You know? And so, but it's like, those are the only two parents that cared, it seems like, you know, not excluding present company. You know, it's like, we should have a mass awakening, but Grand Forks is, there's something in the water here. I don't know what it is, but people just don't care about
truth. I don't understand, like, how is Altru still requiring people to wear masks in that building? Yeah. I mean,
their staff all does. The patients don't have to.
Yeah, you do. If you go in there.
I didn't have to.
Well, when I went in there, they said, masks are required here.
No. Yeah, but you weren't a patient. Patients don't have to, but visitors do?
No.
Oh, okay.
For probably 4 months at Sanford and Altru.
The medical establishment are on the cutting edge of idiocy, you know, that's why. And then if they'll stick stubbornly to their idiocy they have to, you know, and that's what they're doing. And especially because it's so much money flowing into these places from the government to support these asinine rules that they just stick to it until they're dead, you know? And that's the point too, is they're killing people with it, you know? So it's not something that's going to go away lightly. And even in Minnesota, they were pumping out so much money for COVID things. Minnesota, there's this big thing in Minnesota now where these restaurants and stuff are in a massive, I can't, what was it, like $250 million or something of fraudulent embezzlement from the government COVID-19 kickbacks,
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Father Stephen McKenna watching the show today. He types in, critical thinking has been replaced by critical race theory. Teaching logic, problem solving, and independent thought are things of the past. And I think we can all agree with that.
Oh, yeah. It was past my generation.
So you know. I was going to ask you, I mean, with these things that are going on in the schools, because, you know, I have my daughter in public school. And how do we know what they're doing? I mean, can't we get like a camera in the classroom or something? I mean.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, are we really not allowed to go in, or are people just afraid not to go in? You used to go in, you checked in at the security, and then you could tell them where you were going. You had a little thing on that said you were a parent or a visitor or whatever. You could observe in the classrooms. You could volunteer in the classrooms. If that's happening, if you still can do that, then people better get in there and do that.
Yeah. If you want to find out what the heck they're trying to shove down your kid's throat.
Yeah, I had this idea for a study that I wanted to do involving that, and it was, I would figure out a way to randomly, you know, decide which classroom which school I'd go into, which classroom, which hour, and then just that way you get a whole variety of subjects being taught, and I'd go in there and I would just listen to what they're teaching, and then analyze if that is how well that reflects reality, just to get a grasp on how far away from truth our current education system has gotten. And it's way worse than I imagined, obviously. Yeah. If they deny he and she, you know, that is a culture can't, a civilization founded on that doesn't survive. Mm. You know, it gets wiped out incredibly quickly.
I have to give my daughter credit, though. She told me that in class they were asked who the current president is, and she said Trump.
Wait a minute. Here we go. Applause just because we know Dan doesn't like him.
He's not my president. He's better. He's better than Biden.
Well, anybody. I'd be better than Biden.
Yeah. Well, you'd be better than Trump too. So yeah, there you go.
No.
But so yeah, so just like the frog boiling alive, how they keep turning up the problems on us. You know, I think we're basically a society that's been conquered, and we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is the cataclysm event. But here's a headline. California bans sale of gas furnaces and water heaters by 2030. By the year 2030, gas furnaces and water heaters are going to be illegal in California.
Now, this is the same state that also said combustion motor engines will not be available at that time. And then the next day, they told you, because you're going to go to electric car, then the next day they told you, oh, by the way, you can't turn your air conditioner on or do any of this stuff because we're really short of electricity. And I mean,
you can't charge your car. That happened in California 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You can't charge your car today because of the brownouts.
Yeah.
And
so
you know,
we're all going to have cars that we can't charge.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And again, those cars aren't going to work up here. Yeah. They don't try these cars up in, you know, when it's 45 degrees below zero, but I've got a lot of friends in California. I used to live out in California. I loved it when I was there. But as far as I'm concerned right now, and I've said this before, the state could fall off the country and disappear, and it wouldn't bother me one iota.
Yeah.
And I apologize to my California friends out there. Why don't you guys just move here?
Yeah. Well, these countries and states like California are test beds. They're a prefigurement of what is to come for the flyover states, so to speak, you know, because this stuff combined with the indoctrination of our children, they are totally indoctrinating our children, not just with what we've been talking about for the last half hour plus, but with this, with the green agenda, you know, and the children being raised in the flyover states, being indoctrinated in this, will accept this. So what's happening in California by 2030 will be happening in North Dakota by 2040. Essentially,
you know, it's funny from me being a Minnesotan, you get up to Grand Rapids and Lake of the Woods area, and a lot of these car manufacturers, they do a lot of their testing up there for cold weather, you know, because Minnesota is actually colder than Alaska in a lot of places. But you ever see electric cars up there testing? No, because they know they probably wouldn't even be able to start the damn things. And they're going to expect us to be driving these.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Those,
you see, it's like at least once every few weeks you see an article where the Teslas burn up, you know, the batteries burn up, and there's like,
and it's $25,000 to replace it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just the battery.
Yeah,
and there's even parking ramps now that they won't allow electric cars to park in because they're starting on fire out of the blue.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And it's as Gene said, it's asinine. You know, there's nothing logical about what's going on with these things. You know, it is totally. And being enforced with an iron fist, it's just we can't see this iron fist because it's flowing in terms of money.
So we have lots and lots of people out there, probably the silent majority, who are very, very frustrated. So how do we help them turn this into action?
Yeah.
Instead of wait for 2030, wait for the cars to burn up.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that just want to toe the line. They don't want to make waves. They're not like us. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid, or they are afraid to say it like they see it or like we see it. My mouth gets me in trouble once in a while, but not too many times do I spew something out there that's not the truth.
Right.
Right.
And if you can't, you know, it's like the old movie, you can't handle the truth. Well, obviously you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, jeepers, if you were born and raised around here, think about this. Now think about 10 years from now and think of what it's going to be like. Come on.
Yeah.
You know.
So one of the things I heard was voting is anonymous, right? So go and vote and know who you're voting for.
Yeah.
Know who you're voting for at every level. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if that's happening.
No.
I mean, how many people voted in the school board?
Exactly, Gene. I was just going to say that.
Not
4,000?
4,000.
In a town of 55, whatever it is.
And people don't like what's going on, and they could have made some changes.
Absolutely.
It all starts with the people watching. It all starts with you. You.
Yep.
If you're sick and tired of all of this, like we are, here with the Midwest Public Health Coalition and Grand Forks Best Source, I mean, it's time for us all to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, don't let somebody else do it for you, because that's what the majority of the people think. Well, crap doesn't get done that way.
Right.
No.
And pretty soon we lose our country.
Yep.
And from the very beginning, we knew.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We knew.
Yeah.
And we were called liars. We were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I was told numerous times you shouldn't be doing that show. Yeah. You're going to lose customers. You're going to lose, you know,
right.
Advertisers and all of this. And it's like, well, that's you.
Yeah.
And now, that's your now thought. The news is all about what we've been saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember a certain so-called conservative writer for the Fargo Forum and Grand Forks Herald called Gene and I fake experts after a presentation we gave for MPHC last summer, you know, and if the silent majority is truly on our side, if they just were directed properly, this problem goes away so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can truly make America again the beacon on the hill that everyone's.
You mean
for.
The Pulitzer winning? The Pulitzer Prize winning Grand Forks Herald called you fake?
Yeah. They didn't say our names, but they called us fake experts. I think it was the Fargo Forum, actually.
Okay.
That time.
Well, same thing.
Potato, potato, right?
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if we had just properly directed human energies, we would win so fast, so fast. It would be, there would be, blood would be shed. I hate to say it. It's just because the evil is so ingrained in our society to remove that. These guys with psychopaths run everything, and they're not going to give up without killing us as much as we can.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that they're, by the way, their mentality, the only thing they're going to respond to is a threat to their life. That is it. And these people are so entrenched in the true power, halls of power of the world that they ain't going to give up without a fight.
Mm.
But understand that we have to do it, because if we don't do this, we will lose. But if enough of us do it, we're going to win. You know, it's a pretty straightforward formula, you know?
We got a text from Kimberly. Look through the voting guides. Please come out to events and listen to the people running.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good start.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pay attention to who's running. I mean, we've got major elections coming up here.
Yeah.
Things are either going to change. Well, they're going to change drastically come November.
Yep.
We're either going to change it and go back to the way we were 3, 4, 5 years ago. Or it's going to be a total crap show.
Yeah.
And it's just going to keep getting worse and worse all the time. Yeah. And before you know it, the Great Reset's going to be 15 years old.
And that's why I'm glad that Rick Becker's running for Senate as an independent, because I became a Republican. If people long time watch the show, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. But I became a Republican in North Dakota just to go to the delegate convention. Gene was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the speech that Rick Becker gave was truly one of the finest political speeches I've heard in my life. You know, it was great.
It was great.
He was literally saying the word culture, you know, and how our culture is being poisoned, how awful that is. And that is so refreshing to hear from a politician, because it's the truth. I mean, people don't understand the power of culture. It's what kind of the thing that we all share.
Well, absolutely.
In this existence.
Culture is a huge word in everyday vocabulary.
Yep. And, you know, culture provides the imagery and the framework from which individuals go into reality and interpret reality and behave towards reality. And with the schooling that they're doing, they're changing that imagery to such a evil and poisonous cultural image that, you don't come back from it as a society, you know, as a child. And the physical toll it's taking is astronomical, but the spiritual toll is, you can't calculate it. It's even worse what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, that's why mental health is eroding so bad. And Jean knows, well, she's a 40-year expert in this stuff. It was eroding well before COVID came around.
Yeah.
You know, and in the book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, that was proffered by our masters at the World Economic Forum, they knew this. They knew, they were citing studies that they were predicting the number one cause of death worldwide would be deaths of despair by 2030. I think they said that, right? And it's these people, there's a thing called Hanlon's razor, which says that if you can attribute anything to incompetence, you must attribute this thing to incompetence. And that's just not the case. You know, that runs cover for evil, actually, because it is intentional what they're doing. They know what lockdowns were going to do.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, I besides the mountains of data on mental health that is caused, I mean, Jean has had patients that a child killing herself because she thought she was going to kill her grandma, you know, because of the propaganda that's coming from the television and the schooling system.
Yep.
The two pillars of mind control and societal domination right there, right? And not only that, it put somewhere between 116 and 181 million more people in starvation across the globe. There was already 600. There's almost a billion people, ladies and gentlemen, that are starving to death on planet Earth.
Yeah.
You know, let's solve that stuff. Let's help. We can solve the mental health problem. We can solve the food. I saw a study This man did a study where he said if the resources were properly allocated, that means we have virtuous people in the pipeline allocating these resources, which is a fairyland now. But if the resources were properly allocated, it would cost like $17.6 billion to feed the globe. And as a comparative, the person presenting this said that the U.S. defense spending from the end of the Cold War to 2011 was $21.6 trillion. Mm. $1 trillion. If that doesn't tell you that people that are psychotic are running the world, I don't know what will, you know?
So you're saying $17 billion to feed the world.
Yeah.
And the Biden student loan forgiveness program is going to cost $400 billion.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong?
Oh, yeah. And look at what the foreign aid allocation the United States has given out to. It's obviously not going into the right hands. It's obviously not being done properly.
Right.
You know, it's lining the pocket. It's, in fact, it is. You can say definitively now it's ensuring people are starving. It's ensuring people are starving to death. And it's ensuring that we get sicker. And it's ensuring that we get more mentally ill as well.
Yep.
You know, that's what this money is ensuring.
I want to thank Kimberly first here. On Tuesday, October 11th, the chamber will conduct a forum in the Grand Forks City Council. This will be televised on local TV and live on Facebook. Grand Forks Commission candidates, North Dakota Legislative 43 candidates, and House and Senate will all be there again. October 11th, and thank you, Kimberly.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just thought about this, you know, the student loan forgiveness. Why are they calling it the student loan forgiveness? Because all he's doing is he's just giving the money to the banks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to pay, but he's just basically taking $400 billion and giving it to the banks.
Yeah, unless you got your student loan through the Bank of North Dakota. A lot of these kids don't know this, but those loans have not, they will not be forgiven.
Right.
You need to if you got your student loan through the Bank of North Dakota, they are not forgiven.
Right.
That's a private bank. Yep. It wasn't a government thing. So, you know, it all sounds great. There's a lot of kids running around thinking, "Hoo-hoo, I don't have to pay my loan," and then wait till you get the bill because you're still going to be paying.
You know, I have a massive student loans. I have yet to pay a single penny on it because of the advent of COVID and all this stuff. And I've said I will be surprised if I actually have to, because, and I will happily pay it back. I have no problem doing that. But they're rolling out the free money.
You know,
they're rolling out the universal basic income. They're rolling out the total government dependence programs.
Yeah, so people won't work, and so things won't improve.
Yeah,
so
and nothing is free.
Right. Because what they're going to have is you're behind.
Yeah,
right? They're
exactly.
going to own you, you know? Mm-hmm. And my opinion, this is total conjecture here, but I'm guessing they're going to do what's called a debt jubilee, where they say all this debt is now forgiven, because the United States of America is over $30 trillion in debt now.
Yeah.
And my guess is that they're going to say the debt is forgiven, and then they're going to revalue gold at a certain price. So I would... Not financial advice, you have to say that legally, but buy gold, buy precious metals, silver, that type of thing. I think that's going to become very valuable.
It's going to go back the way it used to be.
Right. And they're going to bring a new system in, this digital currency system. Executive Order 14067, Executive Order on Ensuring Responsible Development of Digital Assets, is now over 6 months old, and it's ushering in the central bank digital currency system. And I believe that system that's going to operate on will be a gold-backed cryptocurrency system. So they're using the Hegelian dialectic here where they're causing all this chaos with the culture war we've been talking about for the last hour, and then the food shortages, the energy crisis, all of these things are causing this. They're getting people to say help, getting, making us desperate, and then they're going to offer you a solution, which is going to be this digital system. And I don't know how they're going to roll it out exactly. I have my guesses on that too, but it's not going to change your lifestyle, you know, because most people operate in a digital currency system anyway, where it's all just swipe your card everywhere you go. There's really no paper money flowing around anymore, right? And so it's not going to change people's lives all that much, and it's going to bring them back to what they assume was normalcy, you know, and what they called normal. And people will be begging for that in 6 to 12 months is my guess.
Wow.
And so it's I think the time is running out, but I don't want to be doom and gloom, and I think we can come together and secure victory.
Yeah, but you were totally wrong about North Dakota and COVID.
So. I hope I become more wise since then. I hope so.
Come on, Doc. Yeah. I'd like to thank you guys for coming in today. Dr. Gene Gullix, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it was fun.
Good, good. And, of course, Dr. Dan Stanislawski with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, thank you for coming in.
As
and
always, thanks for having
David
me.
Waterman, I hope you have a wonderful birthday today doing whatever you are. But, Dr. Gene, feel free to come back anytime with these guys. We'd love to have you as a regular here on The Great Reset if you can pan it out, all right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much.
I won't see you for a few weeks, so.
Enjoy your vacation.
I'm going to. Thank you very much. All right. I'd like to give a big shout out to Executive Properties for bringing you today's Great Reset.
Our team of professionals at Executive Properties Construction have over 30 years of experience. We pride ourselves on doing quality work at a reasonable rate for our customers. Just check out what past customers have said in our amazing Google reviews. Then contact us today to get started on a bid for your next project. You can call us at 701-330-1273 or email info@executiveproperties.org. And check it out. We're hiring. We're building our new team for snow removal for this upcoming season. Contact Jess for more info at jess@executiveproperties.org.
All right. Well, coming up tomorrow, we talk with Blake Myers about the NFIB and what this organization just exactly does. Should be a great show, so make sure you tune in. And remember, everybody, like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. You'll never miss a show that way. It just dings whenever we go on the air. And if you become a patron on Podbean, it's a chance for you to qualify to win some pretty cool giveaway stuff. I'd like to thank everybody that texted and commented on today's show. We're looking forward to next week. Hey, we all know Grand Forks is a pretty lovely place. Well, Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.